Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
I'm really excited as we're going through our study of Job, because as we're studying about Job, we see some really interesting things. As I said, it's the oldest written book in the Word of God. It predates Moses' writings when he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and so the events of Job take place after the opening remarks of Genesis. In the creation, but it probably takes place just after the events of Noah and the destruction of the world, because there are things that are written in there that would have not been there before the destruction, but also we know that shortly after the deluge, the world destroyed by the flood, that there were still animals that were called dinosaurs, and very, very large ones at that. And we'll get into that at a later time. When Terry and I were pastoring at Mason Road Assembly of God, we had an associate pastor working with us. His name was Alex DeGenova. And Alex was a scientist. He and I got along real, real well. And he worked at NASA. And he worked at NASA during the time when they were preparing to, for the very first time, to put a man on the moon. And he was involved in a project called Fire in the Hole. Now, nobody has heard of Fire in the Hole. The government has kept it a big secret because it totally blows away evolution, even the possibility of evolution. And basically, what the scientists at NASA were concerned about was that they agreed that the moon and the earth came into existence, however they came into existence. They came into existence at the same time. And so they knew there was this stuff called space dust that is deposited on the surface of all planetary objects. And we don't have a lot of it here on this earth because our atmosphere burns it up before it has a chance to get here. But if the earth were 4.5 billion years old, then that would make the moon how old? 4.5 billion years old, all right? And so if that were true, they were expecting that there would be 10, 15, 20 feet of this space dust on the face of the moon. Now, the unknown was, what was the consistency of this space dust? Was it very, very fine, a very fine powder? Was it like a small gravel? If it's like gravel, well, there's not going to be any problem. We're going to be able to take our space vehicle and set it down on top of this gravel, and everything's going to be fine. But if this space dust is the consistency of dust, then what's going to happen to the landing module? It's going to sink into this space dust. And so Operation Fire in the Hole was the contingency plan of what should happen if that landing module sits down on the face of the moon and it starts to sink, and it was the protocol for being able to lift back off again before they lost the module and the men on board. Okay? And so that was something that our government was very concerned about. Well, we did go to the moon. And in fact, we did find out that the consistency of space dust is very, very fine powder. You remember the photographs of the footprint on the moon? So that space dust is a very, very fine powder. But how deep was it? Oh, about 1.5 inches, 2 inches deep. Uh-huh. Not very deep at all, which means that the moon couldn't be much more than 20 or 30,000 years of age. Okay, now remember what I told you was the accepted knowledge of the time. If the moon is 4.5 billion years old, then what else is 4.5 billion years old? The Earth is 4.5. If the moon is 20 or 30,000 years old, how old is the Earth?
Same.
Uh-oh, what does that do to evolution?
Blows it away.
Scientists tell you, you have to have hundreds of millions of years for evolution to exist. And so we find that, lo and behold, the Bible was right all of the time. And so these are some interesting things. You've never heard about that. Walter Cronkite did not come on the evening news and tell you, we have discovered that the moon has 1.5 inches of dust. No, nobody told you that. It's one of the best kept secrets in NASA. But in fact, we find out that once again, the Bible is correct. And as we continue in our study of Job chapter 26, we're going to find out some more things that the Bible is correct about. And so if you want to follow along, I'll read Job chapter 26, verses 7 through 9, and again verse 14. It says, he stretches out the north over the empty space, and he hangs the earth on nothing. He wraps up the waters under his clouds, and the cloud does not burst under them. He obscures the face of the full moon and spreads his cloud over it. Behold, these are the fringes of his ways, and how faint a word we hear of him, but his mighty thunder, who can understand? And so Job starts off with something in verse 7 that is just really remarkable. He says he stretches out the north over the empty space. And what he is revealing is, when you get into the study of the Hebrew here, that he's talking about the North Pole and how the whole earth revolves around an axis that goes from the North Pole. He doesn't refer to the South Pole, but he talks about the North Pole. And this is something that is totally new to mankind, that the earth is revolving on an axis. Because you must remember that even the wise men of the Western civilization in the Middle Ages and all that all thought that it was the earth would stay still and the sun would revolve around the earth, and that's why you had day and night. But here, Job is revealing something that wasn't discovered until the late 1600s, that it's the earth that is rotating around its magnetic North Pole. Isn't that interesting? How do you think Job figured that out? You think maybe God told him? You think so? Maybe. And then over empty space, and hangs the earth on nothing. He hangs the earth on nothing. Now, you might say, well, of course he hangs the earth on nothing. There's nothing, there's no string or anything up there that's supporting the earth. But remember, at this time, and for the next several thousands of years, the wisest men of science would tell you that there was something that bore the earth along. Who was Hercules?
A very strong man.
Right. No, that was Atlas. Who was Atlas? Atlas was the guy who carried the earth. That's what the Greeks believed, that Atlas was carrying the earth through the heavens. And the Hindus in India, they believed that there was a fish that carried the earth around. And you have all of these different, even when you read the Quran, they're going to tell you that the earth was carried by something. And now we find out that the earth isn't carried by anything, that God said it, and it's suspended in space by nothing. How about that? Isn't that? Yes. All right. Amen. And then he says he wraps up the waters in his clouds and the cloud does not burst under them. And the reason that this is interesting and why we know that this is written after the flood is because before the flood there were no clouds. All right. The Bible tells us that that God watered the earth by the dew every morning. There would be a heavy dew that came down. There were no clouds in Adam and Eve's earth, and all the way up through the building of the ark with Noah and his family. There were no clouds, and it was only after the worldwide flood that we start to have clouds again. And so where some people might say, well, this book was written before Noah's time because of its reference to the big dinosaurs, how would they know about clouds? And so we know now that this is written shortly after Noah's time because it's talking about clouds. And then in verse 9 he says, he obscures the face of the full moon and spreads his cloud over it. And again, back then, everybody else, the ancients thought that the moon was something that was within reach, that the clouds were out there in outer space somewhere and the moon was very, very close. But here Job is revealing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that you have the moon, and then between the moon and the earth you have the clouds. And you might say, well, of course, Pastor, everybody knows that. Now they do. But they didn't know it back then. Amen? And so, again, another wonderful revelation about science from the Word of God. But what I really wanted to get to today, behold, these are the fringes of His way. As they're talking about all the things that God does, everything that we know about God, Job reveals these are just the fringes. This is just the little bit. We don't know very much at all. It says, how faint a word we hear of Him. It's almost like He's out there whispering somewhere and we really fully can't understand Him because He's so quiet. He's not revealing everything about Himself to us. But then he says, but His mighty thunder, who can understand? If God were to reveal to us His full glory, then who could stand? You remember there was somebody in history that said, God, I want to see Your glory. And God replied, there's nobody, nobody who has seen My glory and lived. But Moses said, I really do want to see Your glory. And so God said, okay, Moses, I'm going to sit you here down between some rocks, hidden down here in the shadows. And then I'm going to pass by, and you're just going to see a reflection of My glory. And the result was that in Moses' body, just the reflection of God's glory bouncing off those rocks and hitting Moses down there as he's protected from the awesomeness of God's glory, just that little bit of reflection, what did it do to Moses' body? He glowed. He came down off that mountain. He was glowing. Scared the living daylights out of everybody. Because they've never seen anybody glow like that before. And so for thousands of years, people never understood the glory of God. Even Moses didn't understand to be exposed to God's glory would bring certain death. He could only be exposed to a little reflection of God's glory. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus Christ came, He was the embodiment of the glory of God. Jesus said, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. Amen? Amen? And so for those of us here today, we may feel like Job a whole lot. I can hardly hear God. It sounds like a little whisper. I mean, we know really so little about Him. We would like to think we know a lot about God. Thankfully, He allows us to know a little about of His love and His care for us. He allows us to know about His redemptive work through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. But do we really know God? We know what His Word reveals to us. But folks, we are going to be spending the rest of eternity learning about God and who He is and what He is to us. Amen? And so I thank God that this morning that He has allowed us to see His glory as we have experienced His Son, Jesus Christ. He has allowed us to receive His glory as He's called us His sons and His daughters. And now as Jesus has left this earth, He leaves us to continue to reveal the glory of God. Let your light, good works so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and they glorify the Father. Amen? Amen. So once again, folks, do not be afraid of science. Do not be afraid of scientists who say that there is no God, that we got here by evolution. The Word of God is so far ahead of any earthly science that the only reason that they question God's Word is simply because our knowledge hasn't caught up to the Word of God yet. But when our knowledge finally does catch up to the Word of God, guess who was right all along? Amen? The Word of God. Thy Word, O God, abideth forever. So, Father, thank you.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the seagulls calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the shine.